Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. So, do you want marketing made simple? Shopify removes the guesswork with built-in tools that help you create, execute, and analyze all your online marketing campaigns. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/income. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And I'm Liz Esten.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew and Liz to like musical theater.
You said lose or something.
I'm sorry, I was embracing my inner Severus Snape from a very Potter musical series.
Oh, fuck. Hang on, I'm a character from the Harry Potter as well. Fuck.
Ron. You're Ron.
Fuck.
You're Ron Weasley.
Fuck. Fuck.
Magic stuff. Fuck.
Cuck.
Smoking. I'm a girl. I'm a girl, and I'm
girl.
There.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you, woman! How dare it! Fuck you! You're bad at drugs! Fuck you!
Damn, this is a good impression that you've got there, Jess. You're supposed to have seen this multiple times.
Oh god, the Star Community just loves Hermione Can't Draw, though. It's terrible.
It's about as good as every Meg joke in Family Guy.
Yeah, it's about there.
I made that comparison. Fuck you.
You didn't say it on the show, so now it's mine.
That's true, but you know what? Who has Blue Harvest on their fucking list? I don't.
Oh,
just me.
Oh, he does. Well, you said Family Guy. What you said on your list was Family Guy Star Wars thing? Question mark.
I said Blue Harvest? Question mark. I wasn't sure which one it was. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name.
There's
think it is
three
Blue
of
Harvest,
them,
though.
So it is confusing.
Oh, is it? There's like a
they
trilogy.
They do the main trilogy. They do all.
The
three
idea would be we watch all of them and then talk about it as if it was Star Wars.
I love the idea. I think another podcast did the idea of doing Star Wars, but as if it was just like this flop from the 70s and trying to like. So this week we are talking about Star Kids, a Harry Potter sequel. Cue the music.
You're Harry freaking Potter. We don't prefer Gandalf, Merlin, or us. You're a whole lot hotter. Star, you're a superstar to us all. If we're in trouble, we know who to call.
Harry freaking Potter, the lightning star. Harry Potter sequel is a musical directed by Matt Lang, written by Matt Lang, Nick Lang, and Brian Holden, with music and lyrics by Darren Criss, based on the Harry Potter book series by the Queen of Turf Island. A Harry Potter sequel premiered and was A Harry Potter sequel was performed May 14th to 16th, 2010 at the University of Michigan campus in Hell on Earth, Ann Arbor, Michigan. The video version of the musical premiered in its entirety in Infinitus at a Harry Potter convention. The video premiered on YouTube July 22nd, 2010. And God, I remember that day. I remember them slowly uploading part one, part two, part three. Fuck, and it started coming out in the wrong order at a certain point. It was a wild day. The plot of a Harry Potter sequel is Harry and his pals are back for more adventures than ever when they face off against dark wizards, demented monsters, and the most horrible woman in the world, Dolores Umbridge. So strap on your diapers because it's time to go back to Hogwarts. I think this is the moment Andrew has finally come to diminishing returns on the Star Kid thing.
I feel like the thing is, Star Kid shows are kind of all the same, And it really just depends on if they're funny or not. And the Harry Potter ones are not funny. We mentioned Family Guy earlier, but I feel like that's actually a pretty apt comparison because I think the humor here is on that level. This feels like a 3-hour long Family Guy cutaway.
Would you believe if I told you this is the best of the three Harry Potter musicals?
I know it's the best of the three Harry Potter musicals.
I mean, yeah, it is.
But the third one is barely a show, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah, but
the third one is a glorified stage reading.
Yeah, and it's also 4 fucking hours long.
God.
Do you remember when Harry Potter was, like, good? You know, like, people thought Harry Potter was good.
Okay. I never thought Harry Potter was good.
We all had a mass delusion thinking the boy wizard thing for children was really an important thing in the universe.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It feels like so long ago now.
It was over.
My sister was really into Harry Potter.
Before there was a shitty Broadway show, a shitty novelization of the Broadway show, 3 shitty movies, 2 of them starring Johnny Depp. One being fine, the other 2 being completely unwatchable messes.
Oh, no, he
and
wasn't.
Then the author slowly
Johnny
started
Depp
morphing
wasn't
into
in the
Hitler.
First Fantastic Beast. He was only in the second one.
Yes, he was. He was the twist ending villain when Colin Firth became Johnny Depp.
I've only seen this.
The second one is an incomprehensible mess. The third one is boring. I have never watched, I couldn't finish any of them all the way through. And also, the writer and author of the books, Andrew, I believe, has become a Holocaust denier TERF.
I think that she prefers her new name. I think it's like Adolf something. It starts with an H. I can't remember. But she goes by a new name now, legally changed, I believe.
Well, I respect people's chosen names. So.
I agree, absolutely. I think Adolf should continue writing as much Harry Potter as she
wants. You know what? I do believe that Adolf, they should go back and retitle all those Harry Potter books by Adolf Hitler.
Okay, this is why people think J.K. Rowling is a Holocaust. No, J.K. Rowling's a Holocaust denier. I'm not even going alleged on this. So she tweeted a picture of a tweet that said, "The Nazis burnt books on trans healthcare and research. Why are you so desperate to uphold their ideology around gender?" And then J.K. Rowling said in response, How do you type this out and press send without thinking, I should maybe check my sources for this because it might have been a fever dream.
Except for that's true.
Except that actually happened. 100%. We have historical records
that's
of it.
That's true.
I don't know why Adolf Hitler would tweet that.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Adolf Hitler has really no stock in the whole Holocaust thing, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad we're not in the UK because we would get a slap so hard.
Yeah. Fuck
but
JK.
Thank God,
J.K. Rowling can fly to America and suck on my ass.
I will punch her. I will punch her while Andrew sucks. He sucks Andrew's ass.
Other way around. I'm not doing that.
But thank God, a bunch of rich white people in the early 2010s were so inspired by Adolf Hitler's work that they made a musical about it.
So, Harry Potter was this huge fucking thing, and around the time that YouTube existed, a lot of internet people wanted to make Harry Potter stuff, and I just have to tell you that Neil Cicerega got big on the Harry Potter Puppet Pals,
which I watched religiously.
I'm Harry Potter, singing our song all day long at Hogwarts.
I hate admitting that that's where he came from, but at the same time, it is funnier than this.
Yeah.
But they're telling the same jokes. Like, they feel hand in hand to me, truly.
They are hand in hand.
They are.
But this one does, the Potter Puppet Pals does it better. And this one does it longer.
I don't.
So let's talk about the first Harry Potter musical, which we did an episode on, so we're not going to linger on it too much. basically was a thing a bunch of rich white people in Ann Arbor, Michigan did for fun while they were supposed to be getting an education at the most expensive school in America. So, they just kind of did it. They recorded it and they're like, I'm sick of burning fucking DVDs. Let's throw it on YouTube. It went viral. So then they did this one, the sequel a few years later. And this is a little too self-aware, a little too smelling of your own farts. Very long, but it was the first signs of the good things that I like in other StarKid things.
It was also 1 year later, just to correct. Oh. It was uploaded 1 year later.
That's actually a pretty good turnaround.
Yeah, that it was uploaded said, 13 years ago.
That being said, there's pathos in this one, where there was no pathos in the first one at all. There is a narrative and some clever ideas. Ideas so clever that I think Adolf Hitler themselves ripped it off for their Broadway play.
I mean, she did.
Yeah, she really had some... If you compare what happens in this story to what happens in Cursed Child, pretty similar. You can't deny that the bringing in the time turner to go back to a previous thing that is technically still making it a sequel. Pretty good idea that started here. And I will say, I did enjoy this in a nostalgia-y way when I watched this. I have a legitimate nostalgia for this, and I will say it's hard for me to be entirely objective, so I'm sorry. I kind of had a fun time watching this. But I know I won't disagree with any single one of your guys' criticisms either.
I'm not going to say I didn't have fun watching this. I have my own StarKid-related nostalgia. I literally bought tickets to see them live. Like... I've seen them live twice in my life. I have their autograph on my wall. Like, I am invested. But, like, parts of this are just so poorly aged and hard to get through.
What? Dolores Umbridge?
Umbridge? When Umbridge comes on screen, I want to crawl in a hole.
Maybe it's well-aged at this point.
It smells bad. Like, the joke that Dumbledore thought Umbridge was a man... is so bad. It's
like
so
it was actually
bad.
Written by the real author.
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler wrote that bit.
Yeah, okay. Okay. That's a solid point. But this was written by Adolf Hitler. This is written by the Lang brothers. Like, come on. You're better than this.
Like, at the time, it was a joke on, hey, wouldn't it be weird if Dumbledore was actually, like, gay?
Wouldn't it be funny if we got the guy who played Dumbledore and we put him in a dress? Let's do that.
And
I love Joe Walker, but come on.
Joe Walker is putting an actual performance on here. And you and I have made an argument on another podcast. I think he plays Umbridge with a little more depth than just, like, isn't it funny that a muscular man is wearing a dress?
I'm not saying... He does play Umbridge with that depth. I'm not going to go against that argument, because the argument we had on that other podcast was more of a dumb sketch comedy-related argument. Look out for that episode eventually on your feeds. I don't know when it's coming out. So
one day.
At some point. But in the case of this, I'm not saying she lacks depth. She has depth, and I find the texting gag funny.
Yes.
Whenever she texts someone, she pops in like, did you get my text? It's like, you didn't respond yet. I like that joke. That was fine. But in general, Umbridge, the way she's presented as a character in terms of, like, her appearance and just the main core of the conflict being Dumbledore thought she was a man.
I wish that that wasn't a part of it. If that wasn't a part of that, I would have much less reservations about enjoying that performance.
Yeah. And I enjoy
I'm surprised that... In Cursed Child, they didn't adapt that aspect of it. You think that she would have enjoyed that, the author?
Well, there is a slight bit of that. And in the character of Sylvie...
Wait, I thought Sylvie was a woman.
Sylvie is a woman, but there's, like, a lot of falsehoods and things around her and all that nonsense.
Isn't she, like, a child of a Death Eater or some shit?
She's Voldemort's... like something or other.
Oh,
it's
Voldemort
ridiculous.
Fucked. Oh, yeah. Voldemort fucked in that universe. Yeah.
That play is so stupid. I'm sorry for
Voldemort
giving it.
Voldemort fucks in every universe.
That's true. Voldemort has so much sex.
I think Joe Walker's performance in a vacuum, and that he's playing a genuine body dysmorphic character dealing with that trauma. Like, there's more to that character than just, man in dress.
Yeah, like, that's true, but the core of the conflict is man in dress joke.
Yeah.
So, undercuts any development she might have.
It does. But I struggle with the good and the bad. But there's other performances I actually think are really good, too. Like, I think Brian Holden, God, his dry comedy is very funny in this. But everything involving our main trio, Harry, Hermione, and Ron, the worst. Truly the worst.
90% of
That's
the show.
That's most of the show, man. It's most of the show.
I didn't realize how much Darren Criss was sleepwalking through this with a shit-eating grin. I've seen him give good performances. Why is this? Why are you not trying, my dude?
It's because he's in college. So, who cares?
The fucking red vine joke?
Yes.
That gets old after the first time. It's old before they start doing it, and then they just keep going. It never ends. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the audience didn't even laugh at the last one.
No, they didn't laugh one crack at that last red vine joke. They laughed really hard at the first one, and then by like the fifth, they gave up.
Talk about diminishing returns.
Oh.
You're supposed to bring it back three times, you know?
Yeah. Like six times.
Well, when you have a six-hour show.
Yeah, but it was also like Chekhov's red vine because he used it in the final one to help defeat the evil people.
Yeah, and that's funny. I actually
which is
don't
funny,
mind
but
that.
Like that you shouldn't have made so many red vine jokes then.
Yeah, yeah.
the toilet thing. With,
okay,
with,
to, yeah, yeah. Let's start with the potty thing. Yes, Andrew, go.
Fuck? Go.
What the fuck? What? So I get it. It's like he can't. He doesn't know how to use the bathroom or whatever. But also, like, it's just. It doesn't make any fucking sense. So, like, he doesn't know how to use the bathroom, but he's also a time traveler who's there to help them. So, like, why does he keep talking about the toilet so fucking much? Is it, like, a cover? Is he in deep cover?
Well, no.
Like, what's the deal here?
We don't get the time traveling Draco until Act 2. Most of it is normal Draco.
Like, this is present day Draco, who's away for the first time and learning how to use the potty.
Yeah. And
this is a dumb sentence I can't believe I said out loud.
And then they find out, because it's a setup for later, that house elves don't know how to use the potty, and that Draco is half house elf, which is why he has potty related issues.
And also why he has a tiny penis.
Yeah, it's tiny penis.
He's very tiny penis.
There are so many jokes that are literally just like toilet humor or this character's gay or this character has
small
pee-pee.
Or just saying the word pig farts.
Or this person eats shit.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just not that funny. I'm gonna be real. Like,
yes.
I didn't laugh very much.
Like, that's the problem. I think every side character who's doing like a little bit, a little character, and just kind of get their moment to shine, they're actually pretty fun. Anything with the main crew or the main student body, terrible.
Harry Potter's not funny. Ron Weasley's not funny. Hermione is like deeply unfunny, and like it's literally they're just doing the Meg joke.
Yeah,
it's just the Meg joke.
Hermione's just
Guy.
Underwritten in all of these. Like, she's just not written. It's ridiculous.
And it brings up the question. I think I brought this up in our last episode, but so. There's a culture at the University of Michigan of dude bros. It's a very male-centric, like, even in theater departments, there's very, like, there's a very kind of, like, yo, I'm cool. And any women in this, per the beliefs of Devin Little, who played Cho Chang, anytime she brought up a concern with it, they would just reply, "Oh, Devin, you're so pretty," then walk away.
Great work, guys.
Good work.
Which would be frustrating.
That's the spirit of Harry Potter right there.
I mean,
it really is.
I mean, that goes to show a lot of how women in general were valued as creative partners and castmates in these shows.
Yeah, at least and at the time, because I think it's gotten better.
It's gotten better, especially with things like Firebringer and...
Oh, yeah. And the new one coming out, the Cinderella one they're currently funding.
I think there's a lot of cool things with that, but man, these just feel very dude bro energy.
It feels like
in a bad way, very bad way.
It makes like that's like the uncomfortable feeling I got sometimes. I think it was the dude bro-ness of it all.
Like, there's what Lupin makes several like making love to a student jokes.
Yes.
Yeah, which these are 11-year-olds?
They're like 11 or 12, and they keep reminding us they're 11 or 12 periodically as a joke.
Periodically? Yeah. But like, it's, I get that they're doing like a mix of all the books, so it kind of feels like they're like every age at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, they're very specific that they're 11 in multiple occasions, so it's weird that there's so many sex jokes about them.
Because I think it's weird, because a lot of this is like Prisoner of Azkaban and Order of the Phoenix when they're like 15 or 14, I think.
Right.
So they could have just aged them up. And
well,
that
no,
been...
because they already did the Voldemort thing as their junior year, so they had to go back to
back to sophomore year or something. I know, like, the first year at Hogwarts thing and the origin of, like, where did Ron get his headband and, like, all that bullshit, but, like, come on.
It's ridiculous. And also, Darren Criss basically did not write songs for this show, really. He took a bunch of songs he already had written, and just changed them to be Harry Potter. There's very specific things like Stutter, which is just about having a weird breakup. And as Darren Criss once said, as he performed it normally, here's a song that I wrote about a breakup that Joe Walker sang with a stupid voice. And you just feel that the songs are very disconnected from the narrative altogether because they were half-assed and thrown together.
Few and far between.
Yeah, there's like, the way these are split up is like part 17,000 on YouTube, and there's certain parts of this show where there's just no fucking songs for 10 minutes. Like,
there's like 31 parts.
It's 31, and, yeah, it's 31 videos.
Yeah, and some of those are like 10 minutes long and don't have any songs in them.
Yeah, some of them are 6 minutes long and have like 2 songs, it feels like. It's just like, what the hell?
And they're not great. I will say, significant step up from the first one. All these songs are better than every song in the first one.
Yeah, but it's like comparing a turd to a turd. Like, the turd just smells a little less and looks a little cleaner.
Yes. There are ones I even genuinely like in this one. Like, none of them are, like, comparatively to actual Broadway shows. But you know, there's a couple that I'm like, oh, I thought that one was pretty fun. But the problem is, I don't know if you guys feel this, the songs tend to take themselves so fucking seriously. Like, they almost feel like they're written for a straight Harry Potter musical, and all the humor is sucked out as soon as the song starts.
There's a few that don't feel that way, like the Harry freaking Potter.
Which is actually a good one.
That has the energy that you should have. But yeah, there's a lot of them that are just like, why are we being so serious about this? Like, these are characters where it's just a joke character, like a one-note joke character. You know, like, what the fuck?
And once again, it's Hermione. It's always when they try to give a female a song and it just falls flat because they don't think women can be funny, I guess.
I'd say, like, Bonnie Grusin, she's great. She's a good singer. So she's given nothing to work with.
Like, so much that she doesn't even come back for the third one.
No, Jamie Lynn Betty takes over, I'm pretty sure.
No, Meredith Stipen.
Meredith Stipen took over. Okay, she wasn't around at the time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, no one brings it up as anything of value lost or gained, which is sad. So, Andrew, was there anything that you even liked about this? What do you love about this, Andrew? What's your favorite part?
Hello?
Jeez.
He looks so dead behind the eyes.
He really does, y'all. Join our Patreon how dead Andrew looks.
I'm like genuinely trying to think of like a moment that I liked, because there was like a couple laughs, but I can't even remember them.
Any performance? Anyone that you're like, hey, I didn't mind when you were on stage.
I feel like their version of Dumbledore is decent.
I love him, yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably, but the thing is, they get rid of him like halfway through the show and they don't bring him back till the end. So it's like, oh, okay, bye.
All right. Truly, you gave Dumbledore barely any credit.
Like, there's like nothing to like here, in my opinion. Like, Harry Potter as a story sucks fucking ass. I think that there's potential for a Harry Potter, like, satire, like a very, like, you know, biting satire, but this is much more of like a parody, like a haha, we love Harry Potter.
Yeah,
like we love Harry Potter, ha ha ha.
Like they're too afraid to make fun of it.
Because they want Adolf Hitler to love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like
Well, this was also 13 years ago. So like
Yeah.
This was before she went all crazy.
Yeah, before they invaded Poland.
Before she was a Holocaust denier.
No, but like there's room for like making fun of Harry Potter, and I could see that being like an excellent comedy. But this, like, oh, we love Harry Potter, it's just like it's so lame. There's no, like, all the edge to it is coming from like this bro, like,
wouldn't it be funny if Umbridge fucked a horse?
Yeah, it's 2010's internet bro humor, which has aged like fucking milk.
Wouldn't it be funny if Umbridge was a man? Let's do that.
Yeah, it's literally that tier of humor, and it's like this was funny-ish in 2012 when I watched it as a 5-minute like video, and if I went back and watched that, it wouldn't be funny anymore. But this is 3 hours long.
Yeah. Like Puppet Pals doesn't hold up super well in some regards, but like it's really short. Like, it's fine.
And they're not making them still.
No, they stopped making... Well, they stopped making Harry Potter. Because Kid did stop making Harry Potters. Just...
Thank God.
Thank God they ended it. Because Darren Criss has a career now.
Yeah, Darren Criss will never come back to this. It is weird, because right after this premiered, I think most people forget how Darren Criss ended up on Glee. There was a vote of who could be on the Glee project, and then he rigged it with all StarKid fans.
Oh, man.
He wasn't even on the Glee project.
It just kind of skipped over. I remember the StarKid Facebook page sharing it to vote for Darren.
Yeah.
I remember this. I was there when it was written!
Yeah.
Don't quote the demons at me!
Yeah, I watched Glee Project when it aired. Like, genuinely, I watched it when it aired on TV. I watched it. I watched Alex Newell back before Alex Newell was Alex Newell.
Yeah, before they were getting shucked.
Were they an amazing, talented human who's very famous.
Before they were getting shucked.
Okay.
Well, how about we compare our opinions to those of the true critics over on Letterboxd.com. It's time for Previews, Letterboxd game!
Can't wait to hear all the dick jokes.
It's time for Previews. It's time for Previews.
Yeah, this is a game where I pull up real Letterboxd reviews and read them to Andrew and Liz, and they have to guess whether they're a 1-star or 5-star based on just the review alone. All right. You ready, Liz? I forgot this was 3.5 hours.
1.
That was a 5.
Damn!
Andrew.
Damn, these StarKids kids are sadists.
Yes.
Yes. StarKids' longest musical.
Amazing to me.
I feel like I didn't even bring this up enough, but it feels
it's so long.
Longest show too. It is so fucking long.
So long.
Yeah, this is a 1-star.
That is correct, Liz. A better arc for Draco than the movies.
I have not finished the movies, but I don't believe that to be true.
I'm not gonna lie, it is kind of true.
All right, fine. 5.
That is a 1. Andrew.
Yep.
Did you get my text?
Oh, they're quoting it. Damn.
Yeah, if they're quoting it, it's 5.
That's correct. Liz.
Yes.
Hermione Cantra.
5.
That is a 1.
What? Goddamn, the quoting rule has been broken.
Andrew.
Yep.
Red Vines, what the hell can't they do?
They're all quotes, aren't they?
It's a quote.
Some of them are 1.
This is the joke that got no laughs, I remember right.
This is the last one, yeah.
They wanted cheers.
They got nothing.
They got booze.
I think at a certain point, people started realizing that it just feels like an ad for Red Vines, and it's just like, what the fuck?
Also, the way Joey Richter was holding the package, it was like facing the camera every time somehow, so it felt like a commercial.
They wanted a Wayne's World moment, but they didn't like set it up properly.
No.
Yeah, so...
The thing is, in the first 5. Musical, he wasn't even eating Red Vines, he was eating Twizzlers.
Yeah, but he called them Red Vines. So that's a joke.
Oh.
5 stars. 5.
That is correct. Liz.
Yes.
I relate too much to coolest girl to be cis.
What?
I relate too much to coolest girl to be cis.
Coolest girl?
That's the song Hermione sings.
Oh, that's the song Hermione sings. Oh, fuck. I don't remember any fucking songs, apparently. Five.
That is incorrect.
I'm just not going to get any points. Fine.
And I think that's the game. I don't know who won. Didn't keep score. Doesn't matter. Not
Andrew
a real game.
Won. I got no points.
Oh, wait. I want a tiebreaker just because I like this review I found.
Andrew won.
I don't care. I'm just going to... Liz, you're next.
Okay.
One extra point.
Okay.
Took about 2 years, but finished it eventually.
Okay. One.
Damn, it really is long, huh?
That's five. Damn. And that's the game.
That's
probably
wow.
Going to a mid-show and then talk about all two of these songs, I guess.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but we've got a show at you. This show is brought to you by extremely kind donations by our donors over at Patreon. Liz, tell us a little bit about Patreon and what's going on there.
I never do this. Patreon is a place where you can support us by giving us some money so we can keep this show going. We got some cool extra content there. We got some commentaries. We got a commentary for Angels in the Outfield that these two did. It's very fun. We got some Patreon exclusive podcasts where Jess and I are covering Has Been Hotel. Jess hates it.
We also did the Glee commentaries because Darren Chris.
And we did Glee commentaries. Yeah. I was on one of them.
You're on both, I think.
I was on both of them. Yeah, I thought you guys did more. Yeah, I was on both of those. And yeah, we got a lot of other cool stuff. And we have our Discord where we can all talk to the rest of the people. It's a lot of fun. And we have our meetups every month where y'all play games together and chill out.
Yeah. Now, Andrew, who's supporting us on Patreon?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked because I have quite a list to go over with you. Our current patrons are... Melissa Goldman, Danielle Renix, Justice Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Annika Thoreau, Brent Black, Los Angeles Stacey Coon, Joseph Green, Marlon Choquette, John Vanels, Russ Walker, Musical Hell, Care Bear Cub, Eliza Erdman, Anna Moskatova, Sarah Den Blaker, Evan Ball, Zachary Therese, Rora Morasso, Mara, Emily Gracie, Janae C, Scoot and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Nothing Is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, Thespian, Mitchell Young, Shai Tika, Chris Marcotte, PJ Marie Anastasio, Trevi Joseph, Lisa L, Possessed Washing Machine, Nick Rotten, Puffy Boy, Sydney Hicks, Anna Bell, Billy Clifton, Gold-Plated Leaky Mora, RJ Noriga, Julia McLennan, Bjorn Hermans, Toriana Frazier, Sandy the Adequate Amount Jacobson, Kaylee Blazer, Villainous Miss, Sophina Elie, The Awakening, Paige Pearson, Maddie Wargle, Julia Balder's daughter, Emma, Grace, Cara Balda, Socialist Horror, JRL Studios, and Joe St. Georgia.
I love you most of all, St. George.
I love you all. Thank you all supporting us at Musicals with Cheese. Let's get back to the show. It's not over yet. The intro that basically sums up the premise that, hey, we're going backwards, but also forwards. It's neat. I think as an idea, it's a neat idea.
Don't ever tell me what I can't do. I'd watch my tongue if I were you. For all we know, you know who could be watching us.
He can't be. He's dead.
That never stopped our plans before. You've no idea what I have in store. You really think that you'd be at my door if we had nothing to discuss? He may be gone, but that is just as well. So come inside, don't you fret, for it's not over yet.
Evil hands. We are making evil hands. but kind of doesn't make sense because Lucius is barely in the plot.
Yeah, he shows up.
He shows up when he needs to, but like it doesn't feel like he's a tension point at any point.
I mean, to Draco, you know, like he's there.
Yeah,
as
he wants to impress Daddy.
Daddy, like he wants to poop in the potty. I can hum this one. Like it's one of the few ones I can hum. Like it's not over yet.
They really
don't do very much with the whole time travel plot.
No, they just kind of wanted to tell its own story in the past with it still being a sequel. Yeah, that song's fine. And then we already talked about Harry Friggin' Potter being like what this should be. And then we have a song like To Have a Home, which feels uber serious.
I'm laughing. It's hard to hide a smile. My God, it's been a while since I have had a reason to.
So, like, Harry Potter as a character in these is basically just like he even calls himself a douchebag.
Yeah.
And he is?
Yes, he is.
Like, he's just kind of a, like, frankly unlikable piece of shit who just kind of
revels in his fame and doesn't do anything because he knows he doesn't have to.
Yeah. But honestly, part of the issue I have is he's not really contrasted with anybody because that's what everyone in this show is.
Well, they also basically steal that joke from Potter Puppet Pals because Harry Potter's like a massive narcissist in that. So they just kind of like put that into this.
I will say that is kind of in the book, though. He is very much like a narcissist in the book. They don't bring that to the movies, strangely, but he is like a huge narcissistic presence throughout all the books.
Okay, I've not read them, so I have no idea.
I read the first one, and I read the last one, and then I stopped reading Mein Kampf material.
Oh, you got the whole story then.
Yeah,
I think.
Got the point. It's like those people on YouTube that watch like just the finale of an episode of a TV series.
The finale of X-Men 97 explained. The show ended, and the credits rolled. $5 million ad revenue.
Guys, I have a confession. I don't actually watch media anymore. I just watch YouTube channels that do AI voiceovers explaining the plot of everything.
And then she feels sad.
Yeah.
The man wants to get out of there. But
today, I'm going to explain a drama, sci-fi film called AI Artificial Intelligence.
I watched this video essay about the number 23 a couple days ago, and then on my homepage was just like, he read a book. He found a mysterious secret, which is one of those AI recap videos with a clickbait title. And I'm like, are you kidding?
This man found a book. He is in a very serious position. The book has a lot of interesting things written in it.
This book, Mein Kampf, written by J.K. Rowling.
Oh, thank God we're on the UK.
Let's move on to Those Voices, the end of Act One song.
I see them. They were people that I loved. You were barely old enough to be there. But I know you. You have your mother's eyes beneath your dad's untidy dark hair. Those voices ringing out. La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la. And I would never do anything. true. Do you understand me?
Yeah, I do.
Those voices reaching out, la la.
This is where I think the pathos kind of works. I think
Do you even remember this song?
Yes. It's where Sirius Black shows up and they see Harry's parents in the mirror. Man, not gonna lie, did not rewatch this for this podcast. I remember a good amount of it.
Andrew and I watched this and don't remember what happened.
You watched this today.
I remember. Yeah. I remember what happened. You're talking about those voices where Sirius shows up and the parents are there and he's like, oh my god, I recognize them.
Yeah,
I wish the parents actually like sang, but like, you know,
they do. They sing la 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 la.
I wish they sang actual words, but like, what if?
I feel like this is a show where I would get at least a little bit more out of it if I actually had any like working knowledge of like Harry Potter. But
yeah.
My working knowledge of Harry Potter ends at book two, so.
I have a vague recollections about every book, but I don't know any details. Like, I don't know shit.
Okay. There's only one good movie, and that's the third one, Azkaban, because it was made by a real director.
Yeah. You're saying Rent director Chris Columbus isn't a real director?
I am saying precisely that. Neither is the weirdo who did Goblet of Fire or David Yates who did every other one.
And he did the Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, he did the Fantastic Comp and
Fantastic
the Mind
bullshit.
To Follow Them. Yes, I remember Azkaban very well, and they steal a lot from Azkaban in this show, so a lot of those things tend to stick with me.
No.
I like this scene. This scene is like some pathos. There's not like a dumb dick joke thrown in. Unlike the other attempt at pathos, Guys Like Potter, which opens Act 2, where they try to make you feel bad for the racist, Severus Snape.
There are so many douchebags in the world. Yes, so many douchebags get the girls who deserve more than absolutely anything that any charm or potion could ever bring. But men like that, they have her on a string, and they don't care. There will always be guys like Potter to realize tears in your eyes because he got her. She'll never ever know how much you'd have brought her if you'd only done something more for the one back when you were.
Doesn't even open Act 2. Act 2 goes on for like 20 to 30 minutes and then they sing it.
Boy, if you ain't right.
Dude, Snape is the fucking, like, the fact that this character just does like one good thing in his entire story and just everyone instantly forgives everything else is like, what the fuck?
No. Would that have happened if he was played by a different actor than Alan Rickman? I think Alan Rickman is just such a powerful...
Alan Rickman sold it.
The one thing I do know about Harry Potter is Snape did one good thing and then Harry named his son after him after years of torture.
It's like, this dude sucks. Like, Snape is not a good guy. But the whole thing is like, the Harry Potter world sucks ass because like, they have an evil house that they just allow
they
to like
the
be there.
House.
They have the Nazi
literally,
house.
Literally
they have,
though, it's...
they have the good house and they have the other two.
the premise of the fucking Broadway play is, what if Harry's son got sorted into the Nazi house?
What?
It's like, well, that would be pretty bad. I mean, he found 4chan, I guess.
imagine if fucking actual Harry Potter had a scarf of sexual preference. That'd be a fucking nightmare.
I'd like to know. I would like to know.
Not just the scarf of sexual preference. I actually kind of enjoy.
And the scarf of sexual preference dies a horrific death in the third musical.
Yeah, but he gets to marry the Sorting Hat first, so who cares?
And in the end of that third musical, he names his son Scarfy instead of Cerberus, so that's kind of funny. There's some good stuff in these.
My friend has Scarfy socks, and I want them.
They're, like, this sucks, but also, I kind of like it, is my review.
Do you like all the Taylor Lautner jokes?
Yeah, they're almost as good as the Zac Efron jokes in the first one.
Okay, this one little thing. So Peter Pettigrew in the original continuity, I know this, is a rat that Ron owns. In this version, Ron's rat is just fucking dead, and he's been lying the whole time.
They think
Peter Pettigrew is actually a poster of Taylor Lautner and an evil dungeon.
I think that's great. I don't care. Yeah.
Stupid.
It's stupid.
At least there was like a bait and switch there where it's like, oh shit, it's just like the original one. It's the rat, but it's actually not the rat.
No, it's actually the Taylor Lautner.
There's a joke there.
Yeah. I'll give it that.
It's something.
Most of this is working with nothing.
There was an attempt, and it wasn't just like, let's make a fart noise when the guy bends over.
Yeah. Like, I love Lauren Lopez, but goddamn, this material is not working for her.
What are you talking about? She got diaper on. Go poopy. Make big poopy.
I love Lauren Lopez dearly. This is not worthy of her talent.
That being said, I don't think there's much left to do. Andrew, we gotta re-rank the Star Kid musicals. Are you ready for that? Emotionally, sexually?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, do you want to be reminded of what your current ranking is? I don't think it's going to change much.
Yeah, I think we can do that.
All right, in your A tier, you have Twisted, Nerdy Prudes Must Die, The Guy Who Didn't Like Musical, Black Friday, Trail to Oregon in B tier, and Holy Musical Batman, and in C, you've got a Harry Potter musical.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, the fact that D tier is unused, I think, is entirely because this is only ranked against itself, and Star Kid doesn't really have, like, the quality level doesn't vary that much.
We haven't gotten to Me and My Dick.
Yeah, I think D tier is like being reserved for Me and My Dick. Although, I'm not gonna lie, I might enjoy that more than the Harry Potter ones.
Andrew, if you dislike the dick jokes in this one, you're going to hate Me and My Dick.
You get it? The hot girls have ugly vaginas, but the nerdy girls got a pretty vagina.
Yeah, there's a vagina who's a bearded man in a dress who just says, I'm a vagina! And he talks like that.
A lot of men in dress jokes.
Yeah.
The 2010s.
The 2010s were a time.
A worse time.
Honestly, is it the worst time?
No.
No, not the
worst.
But
it's certainly a worse time. All right, so as far as this tier list goes, The Potter sequel, guess where it goes? Right next to the other Potter one.
Above or below?
I can't remember the first one at all, so I can't make an educated decision on that. You claim that this one is better, so I will put it above on your recommendation. But I'm going to be fucking real with you here. I'm pretty sure I remember not liking the first one at all either.
I'm just telling you, at least you can understand what they're saying in this one.
Oh, yeah, the audio quality, way better.
Like, and people remember their lines.
Actually, there's times in Act 2 where they just don't know their lines.
Honestly, every time we cover one of their, like, parody shows, I'm just like, how did these guys make Twisted?
I know, right?
But still, Twisted's too fucking long.
It is. But the thing with Twisted is, you can see where there's like a genuinely really good show in there if you just trim some of it down.
Yeah.
Like the emotional beats actually fucking hit and exist and make sense. And the jokes actually like tie into the material that they're making fun of and like parodying in a way that is actually funny. I don't think you could say that about Holy Musical Batman or any of the Potter ones.
I think, like, Nerdy Prudes Must Die guy didn't like Musical Black Friday a lot more than the others.
Yeah.
Those ones are not parodies, though. Those ones are actual original shows.
I would say they're style parodies, at the very least.
Yeah, but style parody and straight parody are very different. Like,
I will say the worst parody musical they did was Annie. Anakin Skywalker, but what if he talked like Patrick Warburton?
And was fat.
Yeah, what if Darth Vader was fat?
And also the songs are all performed by Clark Backdresser.
And it's like 80s style, like, it's just not my thing. I'm sure people love it for some reason.
Oh, they do. They do. I've never seen it, because I don't care.
And they were just trying to get that Force Awakens attention.
Yeah. I'll give Starkid this. Starship, which is probably one of their most underseen shows in general due to just not being based off a property and people think it's a Starship Troopers rip. It's not at all. It's if the Little Mermaid were in space and involved bugs. Like, that's a style rip I can get behind. Also, I enjoy it, like, as a story. It feels like they're actually trying and the jokes hit and the emotional notes hit. Like,
but
that works and more people need to see it.
I'm curious to see what their most viewed video is. Okay.
Their most viewed video is the first part of Harry Potter. I already checked. It's their most 19 million views.
Full musical is Twisted. And its second most is Guy Who Didn't Like Musical.
Which is great.
Good. And then number three is Firebringer. The number four is Trail to Oregon. Not a bad lineup there, honestly.
Me and My Dick has 2.2 million views, which is an atrocity.
Well, the thing is, there's, like, diminishing returns.
Yeah, but it has more views than Starship, which makes me mad.
I mean, yeah, but also, Me and My Dick Part 2 has literally a quarter of the views of the first one.
Okay,
people gave up after one part, is all I'm saying. Speaking of giving up after one part, what is our overall thoughts on a Harry Potter sequel and our cheese ratings?
I've given up now.
Andrew, you're up first.
Ah, yes.
Me, I'm up first.
This fucking, I don't know. I'm in a bad mood with Harry Potter right now. This shit sucks, bro. I don't know.
I thought you loved the work of Adolf Hitler.
don't put that out there.
Andrew loves Adolf Hitler.
It's an inside joke, okay? They don't understand.
I know.
It's an indoor joke.
It's an indoor joke.
So, Harry Potter sucks. Harry Potter, the actual stories are written by a piece of shit, and you shouldn't support them anymore.
And they should suck Andrew's asshole.
I have to speak for my girlfriend for a second here. You guys are like 35 years old. Read a different book series. My fucking God. Holy shit, some of you fucking people.
Those are written for babies.
Stop rereading Harry Potter.
Seriously.
Like, literally. Anything else. Anything else.
There's so many other good magical YA books out there. Just read those.
Or, you know, just fan fiction.
Read fanfic of anything. Or just, you know.
Or, and hear me out here. Maybe read an adult book.
What?
For adults.
No!
Andrew, I want
my childhood nostalgia!
Andrew, I am an old and I still read YA books. Don't attack me.
you can like one time, though, pick an adult book. Just like one.
I know, I own adult books, but I also read YA books. They're fun.
Okay, well, I'm not speaking to you then. I'm speaking to the people that don't read anything except Harry Potter.
Okay. Sorry, I was
feeling
attacked.
I don't know how to read anything without an Expelliarmus.
Just read the Hunger Games.
Harry Potter's got some weird shit about slavery in it, which they touch on in this, but they don't really go into.
Yeah, house elves, yeah.
No, the house elves love being slaves. In fact, they're offended by you trying to free them.
Yeah, they cut that shit from the movies, so, like,
wisely.
You don't understand. The first one that we introduced that didn't like slavery and wanted to be freed, he's just a weirdo.
All house elves?
All the rest of them, they love slavery. Like, they're just huge fucking fans. So, the Star Kid Show. The Star Kid Show doesn't have any of this shit. The Star Kid Show is not written by the worst piece of shit ever, I assume.
From what I can tell in the Star Kid community, they're good.
Robert Mannion didn't write any of this.
He's not involved.
That being said, it still has some of the worst bro humor from the 2010s ever, and it's way too fucking long, and it's about Harry Potter. So
and it's from
I don't
the worst
like
city in the world. Gotta say that
yeah,
one.
Detroit.
Gotta throw my Ann Arbor.
Oh, Ann Arbor.
Ooh, that's even worse than Detroit.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. Notice when you came to Michigan, I did not take you to Ann Arbor.
My aunt used to live in Ann Arbor. I've been there.
It's a shithole. I hate it. Try driving in there. You might as well just sign a warrant to your funeral home.
I like that what you said there doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Just sign the fucking lease to your funeral home.
Sign a warrant.
Sign a warrant like the police are going to be allowed to search your funeral home. Like
search your corpse.
You might as well check yourself in right into a graveyard.
There we go.
For a cheese rating, I'm gonna give it a cheese that is flavored like shit.
Just that?
Yeah, it's a reference to the show where they eat a thing that's
flavored
like shit.
Oh yeah, he eats the poo bean. Yeah.
Have you guys ever tried those fucking Bernie Bot's beans?
No. I'd rather die.
Truly horrific. Horrific.
I've had butterbeer at Harry Potter World. I will admit, I have been to Harry Potter World, but that's all I've done.
I went on the Harry Potter, like the new roller coaster they put in. I waited 3.5 hours for that. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the one bad thing about it is it's themed after Harry Potter.
Yes.
But if you close your eyes and imagine it's themed after a Harry Potter sequel.
And then that'd be
but
full of poop jokes.
If you close your eyes.
Liz, your turn.
Okay. I love Star Kid. I've said before, I love Star Kid. I am a big fan of Star Kid. If I come with any biases on any of the shows, that's why. This, I have no fucking biases. My friend made me watch this in college after they showed me Holy Musical Batman, which I actually enjoyed. And I was like, what the fuck is this? That was my response internally. This is fine. It's perfectly mid. It's so 2010s. It doesn't age well. The jokes don't hold up. The songs are kind of boring across the board. But I have a crush on Darren Criss. So any enjoyment I get from that is largely from that section of my brain. So, I've had a crush on Darren Criss since like 2013, and it has not gone away. So, anyway,
fair enough.
I'm going to give this the cheese flavored Burt's every flavor bean.
Ooh, baby.
I looked on the wiki.
I have a soft spot for this. I don't have a soft spot for the first or the third one. I do have a soft spot for this one. This is probably the Star Kid show I watched the most when I was younger. Like, per time, definitely the one I've watched the most altogether. Not great. Not perfect. Still giggle. Still have a soft spot. Can't even be that weird about it. my cheese rating is the same cheese rating I gave to a Harry Potter musical, which is goat cheese mini brie from Zingerman's Creamery in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but left out for a year, and it's just gotten more stale and less edible. Andrew, I want to remind you what your fucking cheese rating was. Your half-assed fucking cheese rating.
Yeah, I love half-assing them. What did I get?
You just put cheese-based potions.
I'm pretty sure I even said it was half-assed at the time. I can't remember, though.
You probably did.
Then Brie just threw out Hufflepuffs because she was actually very good at the cheese ratings. Like, Brie, she would always come out with some fucking great one.
I will never beat Brie in cheese rating skill.
That's because Brie spent the entire episode doing nothing but looking up what the cheese rating was going to be.
You're right. You are 100% right.
That,
but
honestly, I can get away with that, and I have on past episodes when I had good cheese ratings, and sometimes I just don't.
Our themes are created by Robin Ash via U Music UK. Thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the platform and for not kicking us off for, I don't know.
Making kind of a man in a dress?
No. Oh, for Adolf Hitler endorsement. That's it. anything else we have left to say before we wrap this up?
Fuck Harry Potter. Shit
fuck
sucks,
Harry.
Bro.
Yeah, Harry Potter can go away. Just read another book.
All right, read another book, guys. You have homework this week, and it's to read literally anything else but Harry Potter. If you've done
Dr. Seuss, anything.
I started reading Wicked a couple days ago. Like, come on.
That's not a good book. Not
I know.
Anything but Harry Potter and Wicked. Anything but Harry Potter and Wicked.
Okay, fine. I have to read a new book then.
Oh, yeah. To get the credit on this assignment, you might need to read another book. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because, you know, it's just the legal
You
wall.
Know, I'll just dive into my Laura Crone book collection and read from one of those. So.
Yeah, I got to reach out to Laura. Hope she's doing all right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese. You remember that time when you wouldn't talk to me? No, you wouldn't talk to me yesterday. We were getting along, had a little dancey thing. Well, here's a song I sing my way. It was gonna be fun, but you didn't wanna be the man that'd be with me. No way. And now you're saying it's time. Why you gotta be like that? I don't like the way you act around me. So baby, come on, come on. Whoa, don't you tell me to go. Say I'm the one. Do you think I'm done? I'm sorry, did I just stutter? Won't you tell me you know that's the end? You were never my friend. You were never my lover.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.